Call the meeting to order. Myself, Alderman Tentrows, Warren Transier, and staff, and some people running next AM are in the audience. You guys can obviously present number six.
So you don't get any
citizens' comment?
First.
What?
Yeah,
do we want to, do you mind if we take it first? Alright. We'll move to EDC 2024-19, Cornel Solar Farm Annexation Rezoning and Special Use.
Thanks, Joe. I'm here on behalf of the petitioners. I'll introduce them, and I'll shut up because I think Christie will want to take over for a minute. I'm going to butcher for Annex last date, you shees.
That's okay.
Close?
You dishes.
And down at the end is Matt Kwiatkowski. They're the two local representatives of Next Amp, and they've got another set of local people that he met right on the 47, one with Dan Nagel's property. So they like Yorkville, and they want to be part of the community. And I think it was important about a month ago in Cranes, it was announced they were going to move a corporate headquarters here to Chicago, Illinois. So they definitely have a presence here. They're not one of the fly-by-nighters that goes out and gets leases and then rolls them to somebody. If they get property, they build it, they run it, they keep it. And the third gentleman right in the middle with the white shirt is Michael Keith, our civil engineer, because I know nothing about the technicality, so he's the guy that's going to answer all that. So I'll be quiet. Just wanted to give you the players of the program.
So in an effort not to be redundant about their presentation, I'll just tell you briefly about the project. It's a 5-megawatt AC freestanding community solar project. It's requiring annexation, rezoning, and a special use. The property is outside of our corporate boundaries. It's west on Cornels. It encompasses three unincorporated parcels that are owned by Gary and Betty Bennett. The overall site is of the three parcels is 94 acres. 31 and 35 acres will be fenced in for the solar field. There was initial submittal that said 31 acres and then a resubmittal that said 35. So it'll be between 30 and 35 acres for the solar field. It's an existing farmstead for a homestead for a portion of the property of the three parcels. There's going to be a public hearing for the annexation scheduled for April 23rd. So upon annexation, all the parcels will be automatically zoned R1 per our regulations of our UDO. They will need to seek a rezoning for A1, which is where solar fields are permitted, and they will also seek a special use, which is required for solar fields. So there are setbacks that are required for solar fields. They meet those setbacks. They also exceed some of those setbacks in relation to location of the nearest array to the residential structure that's located northwest of the property. They'll get into a little bit more of that. There's about 12,000 modules proposed to be installed. The petitioner is aware of our fee structure of $7 per module. They also are aware of the discussion we'll be having later tonight about amending our alternative energy section of the code regarding solar developments. But in general, from the recommendations that were given to staff at the last meeting, they do meet those standards, which is the 1,000-foot buffer between a major roadway as well as the Fox River. The lease will be a 20-year lease, and then they have options for up to 20 more years on the property. We'll have two central inverters and about one to two transformers on the site. They meet the height clearance. The height maximum is 30. They're proposing 20 feet for their solar arrays. And when we were talking about distances, they'll get a little bit more into that, but they're about 1,300 feet from the nearest unincorporated residential land use and about 2,000 feet from the nearest property in Caledonia subdivision. So they did a glare study. There are no issues anticipated with this project, and they also are proposing to do an anti-reflective coating on all of the solar panels. They have amended their request to install an 8-foot high galvanized fence. At first they had a fixed knotted knot frame fence that we felt was not going to be durable for the long term. And in general, the access road is about 15 feet wide. It's going to be gravel, but it's going to be compacted to meet engineering standards, and it will be accessed via Cornelius Road to the south. They did provide a landscape plan, which is not necessarily required for solar fields, but they are going to meet IDOT's Class 7 seat mix outside of the fence, and then within the fenced area where the solar field will be, they're going to have a pollinator-friendly seed mix so that future turnover after the solar field is gone will not ruin the soil. They did provide a decommissioning estimate of about $540,000, and that's over a 25-year lifespan with 3% annual inflation rate. The city engineer has not yet had a time to review that, but they will review it and make final recommendations. The last issue that came up is there's a small area that's proposed for a battery energy storage system. I had our building official review that because we had some concerns, because battery storages are only permitted as primary uses in the M1 district, but this seems to be an accessory structure, not necessarily a primary land use. So if that is going to be allowed, it will require conditions related to it per the City Council, Planning and Zoning Commission, and recommendations from our building code official for safety reasons. Other than that, staff is prepared to take the rezoning and special use to the April 10th PZC meeting, and the petitioner is here to do a presentation as well.
All right, you covered a lot, so did Dan, but I'll just kind of hash through some things, mostly on our background, and then get into some project examples, and then Michael, the civil engineer, will talk more specifically about the site plan. We were founded in 2007 by two Army veterans. They returned from being deployed overseas and realized a lot of the conflict overseas was about energy resources, so they wanted to do something about it. Fast forward 16 years later, we are vertically integrated, which means we not only develop the project, but we also own and operate it all the way to decommissioning. We've got over 475 employees today, voted number one community solar company in 2023 by Solar Power World magazine. And a big thing that happened last year was we completed the largest domestic module purchase in community solar history with Helene in Minnesota, and that just ensures that we're getting our panels domestically, as well as our supply chain, you know, where their fans purchase, we're able to get to construction much quicker. Next slide. Specific to Illinois, our Midwest, we started to build out our Midwest team in 2018. As Dan said, back in January, we announced that Chicago is our second headquarters, and we're currently building or operating 20 plus projects statewide with 30 more in development. And our operation assets serve over 5,000 residents and small businesses in Illinois, and those are the folks that subscribe to our solar arrays. Next slide. These are just some few examples, some more local examples. French Road Solar is in Burlington, Kane County, 16 acres, 2.8 megawatts, serves nearly 400 subscribers. Next slide. And the Good Now Road East Solar is in Beecher Will County, 19 acres, 2.7 megawatts, serves nearly 400 subscribers. This is just the area map. We are, you know, located right off Cornelius Road between State Route 47 and Beecher Road. And it's three parcels. And we'll be utilizing all three, not the totality of them, but, you know, portion of them. Next slide. More specifically on the project location, what you see kind of in the yellow is where the array fence will be, essentially. It's going to be split by the ditch that runs through there. And it's parcel, the parcel numbers are up there. I guess I won't have to read them. The owners, Gary and Betty Bennett. All the parcels together of 93 acres, we're proposing approximately 35.5 acres within the array fence. The project capacity is 4.99 megawatts AC, and the project life is 30 to 40 years. Just to go over some benefits, especially from a tax perspective. There's obviously the environmental benefits. It is temporary use of farmland after the 40 years when we decommission, we're required to, per the AIMA agreement we put up with the state of the state Department of Agriculture, we're required to return that to farm ground, you know, restore appropriate topsoil, make sure all the drain tiles are in working order and things like that. It's an increase in domestic energy production, which stabilizes the grid and stabilizes the electric costs. We're predicting this will have utility savings for over 650 residential subscribers. And the big thing, it adds to the tax base without adding demand for public services. So there's no demand on the roads, schools, utilities. Once it's built, it's very quiet and passive development. This is the projected taxes model, but with the city taxes, assuming we're annexed. The current taxes are approximately $2,300. With the solar taxes, the first year, it'd be $34,000. So that's a 14 times difference. And the biggest taxing bodies within the city are the school district, 66.5%, and the Bristol Kendall Fire, which is 6.9. So you see the difference the schools will be getting, again, with no added demand on public services or added capacity to schools. And then the projected taxes for the four-year total, it's a 5 times difference. That's just because of depreciation of the solar farm. So it's a lot more in the first, you know, first year and first 10 years, but then it, you know, but it's still over the life of the project, you're getting a big difference there. And then in terms of due diligence, this is just all the things we've done to date. We selected the site, obviously. We executed the lease with the land, the Bennetts. We've done the survey, pre-application discussion with the city. We've done utility studies right now. We've gotten an interconnection agreement with ComEd, so that means the project's real. We have the agreement with them that will allow us to connect to their grid. We've done state historic preservation office consultation, and no impact there with cultural or historic resources, endangered species. We've done a wetland delineation. There's the only feature out there is the ditch, which is considered a stream. We've done consultation with the Federal Aviation Administration, which no conflict there. We've got NRI, and we've gotten the executed PMO with the State Department of Agriculture. And then I'll hand it over to Michael to just kind of get more specific about the design and the layout.
Good evening. I'm Mike Keith. As Dan and Matt mentioned, I'm the civil engineer of record for this site. First, what you see up on the screen right now is the current site plan. The access is going to be off Corneille's. We are utilizing the current access that's out there today that works for the farm field. And then we're going to follow the existing access that's on there up. And then there's an existing crossing across the Rob Roy District, the Rob Roy District Creek. So we are utilizing all those existing information on the site. One of the things we are doing is we are going to expand the access across the Rob Roy Drainage District stream. We have already opened dialogue with them to make sure that it's going to be okay with them. In theory right now, they're okay with our crossing. We still got to finish our design and make sure that they sign off on it. We are currently looking at the National Wetland Permit because that is considered a stream, so we are working with the Corps to take care of that stream crossing. And those are a few, that's the main environmental issues we have on the site. The setbacks, as Christy mentioned, you guys are going to have a discussion later on about increasing the setbacks. Our layout right now meets those increased setbacks that you guys are looking into. So we know it's coming, so we want to make sure we accommodate that on our site. So we are meeting those setbacks. Another site layout design that we took into account is all the equipment, including the battery energy storage, is interior to the site. The design of that is to make sure we're interior to the site, farthest away from the property lines as we can be. So any noise that comes from this equipment, while it is low, it dissipates by the time it makes it to our fence line. So, I mean, by the time it hits the property line or the roads, it won't be heard, and it will also be shielded internal to the site. We are dedicated to providing all wires underground to the point of interconnection. where it'll transition up and go across the road. And then there are, in working with the city's engineer, EEI, we discovered that the Rob Roy Drainage District Creek does have a floodplain and a floodway associated with it through this site. So we are currently looking at their model, modifying their model to add our information on the site, and then we'll work with the Department of Natural Resources to get that permitted through them and make sure we're not causing any detrimental issues up or downstream from our site. Next slide, please. So this is our landscaping plan. As Christy mentioned, we're going to do a pollinator mix inside the site. We're going to provide buffering on the southern end of our site. The pollinator mix actually works twofold for us. There's almost three benefits to it. Number one, it helps us to stabilize the site pretty quickly, and it gives us a good deep root system for our site. It also is eco-friendly. Pollinator is exactly what it means. It's pollinator to help out bees, gives bees and other insects a place to pollinate and germinate in our area. And then it also gives us a stormwater management benefit. So going from row crops to a pollinator mix, we reduce the runoff coefficients, the time to concentration, so it helps us to meet the Kendall County Stormwater Management Ordinance. Unfortunately, we can't hit the 100-year storm event right where we need to be at the ordinance, so we are providing two of those small detention ponds on the southern end of our site that will then feed into the Rob Roy Creek. And then we are proposing screenings on the southern end, sorry. and then as Christy mentioned, we're going to provide an 8-inch chain link fence, 8-foot high chain link fence around the privacy slats. This is just a picture looking from Cornelius Road north towards the site. You can kind of see our site will be kind of to the right a little bit, back offset to the area. And then the next picture shows a good picture kind of looking back. You can see the existing access road and then those tree line that's going to be there. We fully intend to save that tree line to help give us further screening from Cornelius Road. You'll still be able to see the solar field back in the corner, but you can see how far off it's going to be set. And then we are providing a buffer in the front of it. And then the last picture of this. This is another picture looking right up from the access road. You can see the tree line on the right there. And then that last picture there, you can kind of see what the pollinator looks like after it's been fully germinated and after some time has passed. One of the things, I've worked with other solar developers, and NextDam does a really good job in working with NRS to do their pollinator mix. Other companies are starting to follow suit to also work with NRS, and NRS does a full report, tells them what the pollinator mix should be, the 5-year maintenance program to make sure it works and germinates and it takes. So, I mean, it's just not a matter of spraying grass seed on the land. It's actually a full program that they use to help minimize water, pesticides, and make sure it germinates and looks like that at the end of the day.
I think if you look at that one slide you showed you, it's in the presentation of Burlington, you'll see how lush the pollinator plants are. Get bad time of the year to look now out at the site, but if you compare that to some of their competitors in other areas, you'll see the difference with NextDam. Yeah, that top right one's a powerful view of what they've done in Burlington.
We'll be happy to answer any questions anyone has.
I'm good. You got any? You have any?
I do not. Thank you.
So we have to move it in, correct?
Next step is PZC.
PZC and then City Council for a public hearing for the annexation.
So that'll occur in March
April.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Dan, you're good?
I am.
Good?
Yeah.
Pete's always good. So.
Usually.
Thank you very much. Appreciate the time of the committee. Thank you.
Have a good one.
You bet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Move on to minutes for correction or approval. Everybody okay with minutes? Okay. We'll move on to new business. EC 2024-14 building permit report for January.
All right. In January, we ended up adding 15 single-family detached homes. and 59 permits were issued in general, with 36 of those being miscellaneous. A little bit of a slow January, but we had a pretty busy December and a pretty busy February. So, as it'll show in the inspection report, we had that cold snap and the snow come through and everything. And my staff was actually chomping at the bit, wanting more work to do. And I'm like, you know, you get one break for the year. Let's just do studying and stuff like that. So it wasn't as busy as normal. We were still kept busy.
EDC 2024 building inspection reports for January 2024.
We did 408 inspections. Most of those were single family homes. We are still outsourcing some inspections here and there, but majority of the ones in January we handled ourselves internally because we were a little slower. So it was nice to be able to do that all again.
Let's go again. EDC 2024-16 property maintenance report for January 2024.
All right. In January, we only heard one property maintenance case, and that was damage or tampering. And Gillis Pylane, that was a contractor that used our water without having a meter on it. So they were issued a citation and fined $75. They were using it for about 4 hours when we found it. So $75, 4 hours. I don't think they could use that much water. It was just the dry water using it to mix up with mud. So. But yeah, we've repeatedly told them over and over again, and water department wants us to crack down on that, so we're taking care of it whenever we find it. So
this is a jeopardy that gets used too much.
Right.
100%. And anytime we catch anything, we do go directly to the contractor, whoever the highest authority is, whether if it's D.R. Horton, we go to the Midwest D.R. Horton office and tell them how big of a deal it is and how we could stop issuing permits if they don't keep going. In this case, it was not them, but whoever it is, we go to the highest person we can possibly get to and explain the reasoning. That's it.
There. Development report for February 2024. Glenn isn't here. Reports in the packet. Anybody got anything to add to that?
The barbecue shit.
Is that what I said?
Yeah. They'll have they call it a club sandwich, a turkey club. It's about the size of my two fists balled up. It's enough for three.
Nice. Alright. Number five, ordinance approving an amendment to the Yorkville Unified Development Ordinance regarding alternative energy use standards, solar farms.
So as we talked about in the last couple of meetings, some regulations for distances for the solar arrays, staff incorporated two of the three requests that were made, and we also are proposing some minor text amendments related to typographical errors and some clarifications from the transition from the old zoning ordinance to the UDO. So one of the requests was a minimum distance of 1,000 feet from the nearest solar array to major roadways. We tied the major roadways to the comprehensive plan. So there is a chart in a table in the comprehensive plan that talks about existing major roadways and rail networks. So those identified roadways will be the demarcation for the distances for the solar arrays. There was also a requirement from the EDC to add a 1,000-foot buffer from the Fox River that was included. And the committee had asked to do a maximum number of 5 solar farms permitted within the city. The city attorney reviewed that recommendation and felt that although she couldn't find anything in court decisions or statutes that would limit us from doing that regulation, but she felt that the capping would be problematic because it's a restriction that we is too broad and that we don't apply to other land uses. And she felt that we may have some issues down the line with that. If you still are interested in putting it in there, that's a call for the city council. But staff did not add that as a recommendation. The previous petitioner, which is Cornell Solar, I added a chart in there to show you that they are 1,700 feet from Cornell's Road, although Cornell's Road isn't identified as a major roadway within the comprehensive plan. So the text amendment's laid out before you. If you want me to go through the items, the 7 items that are changed, I can. Otherwise, it's redlined in your packet. It's pretty self-explanatory. We are planning to proceed with a public hearing at Planning and Zoning Commission on March 13th.
Okay.
So just to be clear on the buffer, it is 1,500 feet currently in the ordinance, or maybe 1,000 for major highways?
It's 1,000 feet. Okay. That's what's proposed.
So the map shows different distances.
Yeah, different distances.
But the one that we've drafted in the ordinance for your previous direction is 1,000.
Correct. Yep.
We had the moratorium on the banks. Was that just on major corners? How did that one work?
You know,
did we have a cap on
man,
that?
Growing back in the way.
Yeah,
I know. I recall the conversation. I don't think that it was long-lived, if at
okay.
all. And I don't know that we formally implemented it.
Oh, okay.
We did implement restrictions on drive-thrus to make them special uses. And I know that that was done in response to some of those issues because
okay.
banks don't generate sales tax and they take up hard corners, which was retail, you know, centric
right.
10, 15 years ago. So I'd have to go back and check.
But you're pretty sure we had to modify it for similar reasons?
Yeah, and, you know, using that kind of thinking, you know, you've got the code drafted such that, you know, it's usually, or it always is a special use for a solar farm, correct?
Correct.
So it gives you the chance basically to apply, you know, unique standards to the property and ask for different things as part of the land use decision-making process, you know, both with input from the public via public hearing and then through meetings like this or something else.
Good job. You guys good with that? I know.
I can just go along with it. I like to see the numbers limited, but if we can't do it because Kathy thinks it'd be a problem, then I guess there's other ways to control whether or not they're built. So.
Yeah, I think that conversation is worth having at City Council for you to hear it directly from her.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
okay.
the potential outcome and challenge for it. I mean, you know, I'm sure that she would say something to the effect of there's not a clear prohibition against it, so, you know, it might hold up if nobody challenges it. It's just if somebody decides to sue us, you know, then you're potentially, you know, spending money to defend a position that she's not 100% confident in. So the next steps on this are?
Public hearing,
okay.
March 13th, PCC.
Okay. Great.
Any old business? Any additional business? We're adjourned.